Hello, my name is Susie DeJong, speaker, coach, and author of The Untangling. And this is the Untangling series podcast, where we untangle our own unseen and unspoken chains that bind us to open up the way for us to experience more joy and peace and healing than we ever thought possible. So come and join me. Put on your comfiest clothes, grab a cup of something hot, or maybe even a glass of something bubbly. Put your feet up and let the untangling begin. Welcome to the next episode in my series of the Untangling podcast. I'm so thrilled that you could join me. Today I had the absolute honour of speaking with not only a dear friend of mine, but someone who I know is going to inspire a lot of people out there who may currently find themselves in a situation where they are feeling stuck and unhappy with where they are in their life. Donna Gudalovic is a successful real estate agent with an up-and-coming agency called Airlisting, dealing with properties across Brisbane and the Gold Coast. She is also truly a networking queen and runs a rapidly growing women's business networking group in Brisbane. I first met Donna about 4 years ago when she was at a really crucial point in her life. She also kindly allowed me to interview her for my book, The Untangling. Donna wanted to share her story on the podcast to demonstrate to others that it is never too late to change the trajectory of your life. For Donna, it all really began with her examining her belief system and the patterns that were playing out in her life and relationships, and how this in turn was influencing the choices she was making and ultimately her own happiness. Donna is open in sharing through this process. You may experience some uncomfortable moments and lots of emotions when holding up the mirror of self-reflection. But that if you are willing to do the work and take responsibility for your beliefs, it can absolutely change everything. This is Donna's story. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Untangling series podcast. And I am delighted to have one of my very dear friends with me, Donna. And Donna, please, you have to pronounce your surname because I'll do it wrong and I would feel terrible.
It's Gudalovic.
There we go. Donna Gudalovic, who I have known for about 4 years now. And the way that Donna and I met was through networking.
Yes.
And Donna is a networking queen, whereas networking is my kryptonite and I'm really bad at it. But somehow through it, I had the opportunity to meet this beautiful woman who has been in my life ever since. And we actually call each other by pet names because we love each other so much. So I call her Donna Bear and she calls me Mama Bear. I'm just so delighted that Donna agreed to having this chat with me. And the other thing that I would like to share is that Donna graciously let me interview her for my book, The Untangling. So she is one of the amazing souls that shared her soul with me. So I wanted to say thank you so much, Donna, for joining me. I'm just so delighted.
My pleasure.
So we have a lot to cover today because, you know, obviously we're friends, so we talk all the time. But I guess there were things that came up whilst I interviewed you and, you know, I've had privy to from that were really life-changing events or moments for you. And I just have to comment. I said this to Donna before. If you see my arm going up and down, I'm patting my dog, Mackie. The other thing.
was we were meant to catch up the other day and we had technical issues. But I wanted Donna to share what happened that day, and then I will share what happened today for me and just the synchronicities of life that you just can't explain. So could you tell me what happened last week?
Well, I've had a number of items breaking unexpectedly in my house. And, yeah, I was trying to get ready for this interview, and then a candle that was in place in the bathroom all of a sudden just smashed onto the floor and created a big scene. So, yeah, I was there trying to clean up this candle. But then prior to that, day before, I also just had a glass of just a normal champagne glass also mysteriously just, yeah, drop into the sink and smash as well. Now, in our culture, they say that it's actually good that something smashes, because that energy, the bad energy that was attracting, has now, yeah, gone in within that glass or mm-hmm. that I smashed, and we will be not dealing with any negative energy around that. Unfortunately, it just took me off, a little bit off course, and we had technical issues, so I wasn't able to even do the interview. But we are here today.
And it's all perfect.
Yeah.
And your background, what's your culture for people? Serbian. Okay. And what happened to me today, believe it or not, is that I was getting ready for the interview and I was setting up the lighting, etc. And all of a sudden there was this big crash and a bang and the lighting fell on top of a glass candle and smashed all over the floor. And it's so funny because last night we live in a townhouse complex, and someone broke something next door and you could hear it smash. And I just commented, you know, wow, I can't remember the last time I broke something. And then today, and I messaged Donna and I just said, this is, you know, anyway, it's perfect. Yeah, so. As an aside.
Yes.
thank you. I know I rattled on, but anyway. Donna, in my book, when I first met Donna, I just found her like a breath of fresh air. And I'm just going to read a little bit out of the book to describe how.
I've got my book.
little plug. Describe my response to Donna and how I found her and saw her. So in the book, she's called Bella Donna, and her chapter is called The Gift of Imperfection, because everyone I interviewed, I gave a gift, because the gift is what you learn through, but also what you give to your loved ones and the people around you. And this is what I wrote. When you are in Bella Donna's presence, it is impossible not to smile. Her vivacious personality is infectious, as is her laughter. She is cocooned in an aura of fun and excitement, and being with her is kind of like that feeling you get when you take the first sip of a fizzy drink. She sparkles and bubbles and draws others to her like a magnet. While she works in real estate and is exceptionally good at it, her true passion lies in Latin dancing. There is something very exotic, well, maybe that too, it's my eyes, and sensual about her, just like the music and the rhythm of the dance that she loves. How did you feel when you saw that?
I love that. I actually do feel that's exactly me. Yes. So thank you. I do feel that. I have had, you know, some challenging things in my life, but definitely I try and always put a smile on people's faces when I see them. I want to leave them smiling. That's something that is important to me. I love, I love laughter. I love joking. I do have a very interesting humorous side. And not everybody knows about, but my close friends do. So that, I think, carries me through the, you know, darker moments. I can get through with some humor, 100%. But yes.
Yes. Absolutely the same, Donna. What would we do without humor?
Exactly. And we've had some dark moments. So, you know, it's just easier. It's just easier to sail through when you have a bit of humor and you can just say, you know what? I'm not alone here. Yeah, I'm not alone. I can have a bit of a laugh at myself and it's okay. Yeah.
But maybe it's not taking ourselves too seriously as well, because I think you can go down a bit of a difficult path when you do.
Definitely, yeah. So, yeah, and the dancing as well, that's something that I would highly recommend to everyone. I don't know about being erotic, but it certainly is central. And, people start wondering what kind of dance I'm doing, but, you know, I just do Latin dancing, okay. but, yes, dancing has helped me get through also all my difficult times. It puts me in present moment. It allows me to switch off completely everything else that's going around. I will also say it does give you that element of, being, you know, your feminine, exploring your feminine side more and being in touch with it. So, yes, that's something that I'm very truly passionate about. Yeah.
So how would you describe where you were in your life when we met 4 years ago?
Wow, okay. So I would say I'm in a very different place. I was someone that was not able even to express tears. I don't know. I was just very much in this world of being perfect. I had to be perfect, not show too much emotion. If I was upset, not even show that. I just had to have this aura around me that everything is good. There's always this picture that we present in society. And because of that, I had all these suppressed emotions deep down that, you know, even when I came to you and I had this hypnosis session, I said to you, you're not going to be able to tap into me. Like, there's just no way, because I felt nobody could really know what's going down there and what's happening. And yeah, I was just blocked. So since then, there's been a lot of tears, you know. There's been a lot of laughter, and I just feel like a brand new person. I honestly do. I feel like some days it's scary. We're still tapping into certain things, certain triggers, but I feel that the level of awareness that I now have about myself is amazing. It's just, I can't even explain in terms where I'm at. Yeah.
So you, at the time that we met, I'm not quite sure, but you'd come out of a relationship.
Yeah, a marriage.
And you were out of a marriage and you were feeling, what were you feeling in your life then?
At that time, I felt I made the right decision with the ending the marriage, but what was happening around me was displaying a different picture. You know, my parents, family, friends, people that I knew for a long time all turned their back on me and were looking at me with different eyes, always like disgust and how dare you walk away, you know, from a 16-year marriage. Everything's perfect. Why would a woman who's had a perfect marriage on the exterior walk away and do such things? And even my own mother and father, even I saw something in their eyes that I had never seen before. So I was walking around just with a lot of guilt too. I thought I made, but yeah, I'm not really feeling that no one here is supporting me. And I started to definitely feel guilt around it, and easily triggered in certain ways, just very reactive to people saying things. I couldn't hold back and give someone a nice conscious answer. I would just react, like defend myself, you know, nonstop defending. And I just thought, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I've made a good decision. Why am I questioning or double guessing myself here? I'm nonstop just going back and forth and not allowing myself to move forward. So yeah, that's what was happening 4 years ago. Yeah.
And it's interesting that you've used the word perfect a few times. Oh. Tell me about being perfect.
Well, that's something that I was definitely, that the family upbringing has instilled in me since being, yeah, since a baby. You know, I would have always be dressed up perfectly. I would never misbehave. I didn't even have many friends. I think we note this in the book. I didn't have many friends. I wasn't allowed to misbehave because that would look bad. My mum had a certain image that she wanted to portray amongst her friends. And if I was well-behaved child and obviously listening to my mother, then she was obviously doing her job correctly and meeting those social standards, right? Anyway, so that was all progressing pretty well. I then end up getting married young. That was another cultural belief at the time, to get married. And I know many women from my background and even other similar backgrounds like Italians, Greeks and all that, we all are definitely being told from a young age to be a wife, to be married by maybe 20, 21, have children, look after your husband. Yeah, just not really push yourself too far with career. Not necessary, as long as you've got your marriage, yeah, your kids, loyalty to the family, extended family, all that. So that's where I was here. And I've met my husband at 19. We got married within 6 months. Not that we knew each other, but it was just that I was not allowed to date anyway. So my dad was just saying, hey, you got to get married. So, yeah.
Oh, well, I did too. And my sister did too. And then, you know, I'm a bit older than you, but that's what we did back then.
Yeah.
So how do you think those beliefs that you had and outlooks on life from your upbringing affected your personal relationships moving forward?
Well, everything, because I had a vision that my husband also then had to be perfect in every way. He could not make mistakes. I don't think anyone could live up to my expectations then, honestly. So obviously that's played a big effect in my marriage, because I was never truly satisfied with what he was bringing to the table, even though now maybe looking back I just think, wow, you know, he actually was doing the best he could at the time, because he was only 21. What could a man of 21 really know to be a man and that? But I was putting a lot of pressure on him. Every time my mum said something, it would go through me to him, you know, conflict arising. Yeah, conflict with the mother-in-law, because once again, everyone had to behave a certain way. And my mother was definitely the one fueling this all, because she had this idea of how my life had to play out and how everybody had a role in this journey. Because we all needed to, as I said, once again, display the most perfect Serbian family within the community, because it just wouldn't be good enough if we had mistakes. So, yeah, that's obviously, as you know, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as perfection. Perfect. There's no such thing. But the guilt that you carry around, if you make one little slip up, or if you feel that you've done something that is against maybe what your parents believe, you will carry this guilt around, and that's where this all starts to bottle up and becomes bigger and bigger. Yeah.
So when we met at that point, I know you'd already been through a lot of self-reflection and kind of looking at your situation with,
yes,
you know, your family, your children, your former partners and everything like that. What made you go, enough, I need to find out what else there is? There's a better way to live.
Definitely, because even the second relationship failed. That's where I said, that's it. Something's happening here. Either it's my certain beliefs that are causing issues here. I knew for sure that my standards of where everyone needed to be were not accurate. I knew I was judging everybody, every man, you know, these two guys that I was with, they were all judged. The parents were judged. Even that's how I grew up as well. We used to judge people very fast on, you know, just appearance, what came out of their mouth, you know, things that people were judged within, I don't know, 30 seconds really. So I grew up judging people. And yeah, I came to that point of realization that I will never be happy if I don't change what I'm doing right now. I will never be happy. There is no such thing as perfection. There's no man that can live up to these unrealistic standards. And I'm here defending my own parents' beliefs, which are not even mine, which is even what was the biggest opening, eye-opening thing, is that, hang on a minute, this is not even me here. I'm defending someone else's views and causing myself so much, you know, so much pain and unnecessary suffering with everybody, because I'm protecting someone else's views that I had no idea, probably up until 35, that they were not my views. That's crazy, isn't it?
No, not at all. That was the exact same realization that I had, and judgment was a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, when you wake up to that, it's massive. It's like night and day. Yes. And we also discussed, because I wrote about in my book my experiences with past relationships.
Yes.
And I could see the patterns that I followed. And mm-hmm. I remember you actually rang me up or messaged me and went, I've just read this and
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Tell me about that moment.
I think it was something you wrote regarding in the way we were able to
manipulate.
I was just going to say, should we say manipulate? But we will say it. We're going to say it. Very hard to accept this. Very hard to accept this. But I will say that I 100% feel I manipulated both partners into, getting married fast or being in a relationship fast and doing things my way. I definitely manipulated that. And I wouldn't have at the time believed that, and I would have fought that. But if anyone had said to me, hey, Donna, you're being very manipulative here, this is not, you know, you need to allow a relationship to, you know, flow, grow, be compromising, I'd be like, what are you talking about? That's just the way we do things, you know. I know best. Who are you to tell me any other? Because, you know, we gotta defend ourselves in that zone. So that's what would happen. So when you said that, I was just going, wow, actually, she's honestly being brutally raw here and saying she's definitely manipulated the situation, and I definitely did. And it always backfires. So because you cannot manipulate someone to, I thought they loved me, but just the way I went about it was not right.
And I think, you know, when we say manipulate, and I know this for me and I know for you because I know you, it's not doing it from a place of something negative. It's doing it because we need that validation.
Yes.
Because there's something in us that we're not getting. It's that we want to just, you know, have everything our way. It's because there was a hole in us we're trying to fill.
Yeah, the attention. I wanted the attention. I wanted like you said, the validation. I wanted to be seen as so needed. You know, for me, that was a big area for me, to be seen, heard, and for someone to say, I'm dropping everything to be with you. I only want to be with you. That was so important to me because I didn't have that. I didn't actually, like they say, fill your own cup. I didn't have that love inside of me to go, you know what, it's okay. I don't necessarily need someone to do that. I'm okay. At that time, I did need it, and I would have done anything in a nice way to manipulate the guy to go, hey, let's get married. So,
So we go, okay, we see it. We own up to it. We take responsibility for it. Yeah. It wasn't done from a nasty place. It was done from what we needed. And
we needed, exactly.
And of course, you know, when we do these things and when we see the patterns,
mm-hmm.
It frees up our own children, because I know you've got daughters and a son. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's male or female, that
I know.
We can model, you know,
oh yes,
okay, this is, you deserve better. or they deserve better, and there's a healthier way of going into relationships. So what would you say now you can model for your children going forward?
Oh, look, I think for my children, I give them that freedom, you know, to make mistakes, to be themselves. I actually want them to make mistakes. I don't want them to feel bad about it, you know. And I even said to my son the other day, you know, he's made some mistakes this year. And I said, you know what, that's how you're learning. And I want you to always feel comfortable to come to me and tell me. We can even joke about it. It's okay. You know, take your time with it, learn from it. Ask me if I can help you. Great. Someone else may be able to. Don't hold the guilt around it. And don't keep it bottled in. Just say what happened. We'll be okay. We're going to get through it. So I feel that all my children will not have that same, well, definitely won't have that whole same issue of having to be perfect. Let's put it that way. That's gone. That's 100% gone. Cultural beliefs won't be passed on. There will be some cultural beliefs passed on, obviously, but they will have their own set of values and beliefs. And I can see it already in my son. He's 22. He has certainly got his own values. He's so strong in them, and he listens to my opinion, but he will definitely make a decision on his own. There's no questions. Ask my daughter already, the younger one too. She's 8. She's a very strong-minded girl.
Funny man, though.
Yeah, so... But I love it. I love it because I never had a felt. I felt that I didn't have that chance to express, you know, who I was. I didn't have a chance to question, and I feel she questions, you know, everything I say, which is okay. We have interesting conversations, but I allow her that space. And I think that's what I've learned through all this, that, you know, we don't have to continue this pattern any further. We can say, okay, someone has to put a stop to it. Obviously, it was me in my family. I had to say enough is enough. We're going to stop this madness with having to please society, having to live a certain, world, live in a certain world of profession, because I can see how it's hurting even my own mother. She was not allowed to live her life or fulfill her dreams because she had to be the perfect housewife and mother. She had to be that role. So that also has influenced a lot on her happiness. And I just thought, no, we have to change things here. We're not happy. No one's ending up happy. And I don't want to see my daughters or my son continue this chapter and find themselves also trapped in that. Yeah.
And it's, as I've said, you know, in my book and other videos that I've done, it's not about blaming. It's about understanding. And, you know, we do what we know. And then when we know better, we do better. And I even saw it with my relationship with my mum, is that when, as I changed, even her in her 80s, change with me. You know, like it's just a natural flow on. So it's a real gift. You know, it might happen for me a lot later in life. Luckily for you, not so much later in life. Mm-hmm. So what is your view of yourself now? How do you see yourself now?
I just feel like I can be my authentic self, actually. If I can summarize it all, I feel like I can be my authentic self. I feel my whole journey has been about fighting to be Donna. You know, who is Donna? Who is Donna? And then protecting that girl. So that's what I feel like I can take away from all this, and I will continue, you know, to protect Donna and her beliefs. And this time I know they're my beliefs. That's one big thing. So it's not someone else, not auntie, not mom, not dad, not grandma, grandpa. No. This is everything that I've gone through and I've learned are now my beliefs. I'm still going through learning. We're always learning every day. There's something new we're going to learn, and people we're going to meet that I might even change our view on something. But still, I have my beliefs in place. I have I feel also boundaries for the first time ever. I don't feel I had really good strong boundaries, especially with family. I did have it with colleagues and friends and work and all that, but when it came to family, there was no there was definitely no strong boundaries there, and that also would have, yeah, obviously played havoc in my life. So yeah, Donna's in a much better place and can live her life.
Beautiful. So what does the future look like for Donna now? I'm talking about you in the third person, which is a bit sorry. And I couldn't say I didn't have my glasses on.
That's okay. Well, for future, I just feel now hopeful I will attract the right partner in my future. I don't feel I will need to manipulate him. I will give him that chance to be himself. I'm learning all about becoming that right person as well. So that way, when I do, yeah, match with that energy with someone who's got the same values, same beliefs, same care, we'll be able to recognize each other and just be able to build something, yeah, beautiful and solid. So that's what I've learned. You know, I still do believe that there is much hope for everybody who's going through something similar. Obviously, in my case, we kind of had this whole circle around perfection and cultural upbringing, but I know a lot of people still are trapped in family values or certain beliefs, and I just want them to know that there is hope. There is hope to get through that. I feel you can change any belief you have, honestly. You absolutely can. Any bad habits can be changed. We still drink wine. I mean, I don't know if that's a bad habit, but, you know, it's something we need. But, yeah, I think that's the biggest point to take away from all this. I have hope, and I know that people should hold on to that. That it's not the end. You know, you don't turn around and at 40 or 50 or if it's whatever age and say, oh, nah, that's for you, not for me. I can't change anything. That is not true. You can. Just you need to snap out of this whole being a victim as well and go, that's okay. I played this role for this many years. Now it's time to look deeper and change.
I think I'm just so amazed by you because, you know, I adore you. But there's so many people that are around us that will never take responsibility or really, what do we call it, open Pandora's box and look, because it can be frightening and confronting doing that. And as when you think everything's out of the box, something else comes out. And but you were willing to do that. And
I applaud
you for that, because I see a lot of people not, and change is not easy. No. Change as you get into your 40s or 50s or whatever is even harder.
Yes.
But you're a person very much like me that was never willing to just settle, this is it.
No, that's right.
And I think it's unique.
I think, and also the biggest motivation was my kids.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just felt I have to do this for them. This, you know, even if I'm not maybe motivated enough, but I look at them and I think they deserve to just live their life and know that their mother supports them 100%, you know, and is always there to back them up and pick them up if they fall and whatever the case is. So that was my motivation. My motivation was that I needed to do this for my kids, and I'm so glad I did. And then I met you as well. And like you said, the Pandora box, at the time, I didn't feel that it would make, I just didn't believe it, that would be such an impact. But obviously, it was serious impact. And, you know, there was many, many times I would feel, yeah, very sad, emotional, just digging deeper into, yeah, when you sift through these beliefs and certain patterns, you just, it's mind-blowing. But at the same time, it's fully like you have to be accountable, and that's something that is hard to accept. Like I said, that whole hard to accept that that being in a way manipulative, like I still struggle with this word. I see it in a very negative light, but then I think, well, I'm not like that, but I did display this.
But time. Not anymore.
No, because I know how wrong it is, and I know exactly how that backfires, and I would never ever suggest for anyone to do anything like that. But at the time, I learned that was a way to do things. That's how you get what you want, and that's what we were taught. So, you know, that I can't blame anyone for it. That's how the generation was, and one prior to that, we just followed that certain pattern. And I feel that I can now see that even my mum has seen certain changes and growth in me. And I've even had her say in recent times, "I wish I knew that to tell you that or to teach you that, but I didn't know that." Yeah. And that's really big for me, because for her to even see that she wasn't able to pass something on to me, I can't be angry with her for that. She didn't know. That was her level of understanding and perception at the time.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's so beautiful that you had that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, you know, mother and daughter relationships can be fraught with challenges. But thank you. That's just so beautiful. And now Donna is an amazing real estate agent. She's up in Brisbane.
Thank you. I can do Gold Coast as well.
Oh, the Gold Coast too. And she works for a really new up-and-coming agency called Airlisting.
Yes.
And I'm going to put her details in the notes. And I urge you, if you want someone that you can trust implicitly, because I think buying and selling real estate would have to be one of the most stressful times of your life.
Most definitely.
Then I know that Donna would be your person, because she would be my person to walk beside you and totally guide you through this whole process of buying or selling real estate. So absolutely recommend Donna and her firm.
Thank you.
We're going to have some fun.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'll have some fun. You know, I'm all about that. And I've done this on the last few episodes.
Okay.
I've based these questions on the Actors Studio. I don't know if you've ever watched it, seeing actors get interviewed.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you just some fun. Just say the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
What is your secret guilty pleasure, Donna?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Yum.
And wine.
Chocolate and wine. Beautiful. Oh, yeah. And they can go together depending on what kind of wine and chocolate you
100%.
If you could host a dream dinner party with anyone you wanted, past or present, who would you like to be there?
Oh, look, there's some big key players. They're still in, you know, they're still obviously around, the ones that I like and support. But I do like, well, first of all, you'd be invited, because I would feel that you need to be there. And also I have done NLP training. So my coach, Rich Malhotra, who does NLP training, I feel that, yeah, I would love to have dinner with you both and just have more time to explore. Yeah, all that, because I'm very fascinated with how the mind works, how our beliefs works, everything in the unconscious, subconscious mind, things like that. Yeah, that's for me is something I can never get enough. Yeah.
Oh, I'll be there.
Good.
Where would you most like to travel in the world?
Right now, my dream destination would be Jamaica and Caribbean islands. I would love to be there right now. But
yeah,
we're not there yet. We're not there yet, but that's something definitely on the agenda.
Favorite all-time movie?
Oh, Dirty Dancing. Because of the dancing, obviously, right? Yeah, I love the romance of the movie as well, but I had to say it captured my attention at a very young, I was a young girl. I was in the movies with, we were watching something else in the drive-ins, and actually I saw Dirty Dancing on the other screen. You know how in the drive-ins you're in the car and you can't hear it, but you can see it and you're not supposed to see it because I was like 10 or something, I don't know. Me and my friend who were at the backseat, we weren't even watching this other movie with my parents. I can't remember, it was a kid's movie. We were glued to what was happening on the other screen, and it just left an impression on me. And then when I got a little bit bigger, I went to the movie, you know, just a local video store and hired the movie. And I think I watched it, I don't know, 6-7 times at least. There's always something that I get from this movie. It just feels good. It feels good to watch it. And like I said, the love story, you know, I love the love story and the dancing. So, yeah.
Did you ever do the big leap?
No, I have been. Kind of lifted, sort of, but not that angle. It was just like a lift, and that was nice. That was nice. I kind of felt a little bit uncomfortable, but to be tipped at an angle like that, that's something else. So we can still go there. We'll see.
What do you love most about yourself, darling Donna?
Okay, would definitely be my humor. I think we touched on this earlier. I would absolutely say if I had to go through this life again, and if I had to pick certain things, I would say, please give me humor. I don't care what else you get, but just give me humor to survive this life. Yeah, I need that.
I couldn't without it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a favorite quote at all that springs to mind?
Favorite quote, feel the fear and do it anyway. That's something that I also was introduced to 15 years ago, a book. I was in sales at the time. I was really kind of fearing taking it further and, yeah, being just really strong in that area. And this book was given to me and I feel it made a big impact in my life, and now I associate that with other things too. Any other fear that I get, I actually will literally think of that book and what she tells you in that book how to deal with it. And that's something that just stayed. Yeah, so
I've got that book too. Susan, yeah. Someone or other. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I remember it.
It's amazing. It's, yeah, it's not book. Even that. It's not a big book, but what she says in there, it just sticks. Yeah.
What are you most proud of in your life?
Just my courage to, you know, make certain changes and to improve my life. I think it's very courageous to just face certain things, because we can honestly live a life and be on autopilot all our life, and many people just get through life that way, or they take substances to numb themselves from the pain of certain realities. But I have chosen harder paths for myself, and I've been courageous enough to do so. And I think that's another trait that I feel is very strong in me. And I do see it also now in my kids. So thankfully I have passed this on to them, but yeah, that's definitely it.
Beautiful. And finally, if your life was made into a movie, who would you like to play you, Donna?
Oh, geez. This is a good one. Well, again, I'd have to be that movie, Dirty Dancing. Once again, that character, her journey. I can't imagine my life without dance in it. I honestly can't. And also, I feel that I am someone that absolutely want that love story. Yeah. So I would have to say, is it Jennifer Grey? That's her name. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I would have to say I'd like to be in that role. Yeah.
You're so beautiful. I really love chatting with you today, and I'm so excited for you to share this and for me to share this, because you are an inspiration. We might think we are, you know, sometimes we do things and we think, oh, we're not that special, but people are watching you. We're standing up and shining our light. We're leading the way for our children. And we shouldn't take that lightly, because, as you said, there's a lot of people that will go through life and never be able to discover what we have. And when we do discover it is where the joy and the peace and the happiness comes from.
Yes.
And I'm just really so blessed to have you in my life, and I'm so grateful that you agreed to talk with me and be in the book. Hang on, I'm going to plug it again.
Yeah.
The book.
I do too. Yeah.
And if you want to find out more about Donna, it's in there. She's under the chapter called Belladonna. And you'll find out even more about this beautiful woman and why I chose her to share her story. So thank you, my darling. Love you very much.
Love you too.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the Untangling series podcast. I feel absolutely blessed to be on this journey with you. If you would like more details on where to purchase my book, The Untangling, I've popped the link in the notes below. Perhaps you may feel called to work with me one-on-one to support you in your own untangling. I would love that. I offer my services as a coach to walk you through this process in a unique bespoke program created solely for you, because you are unique. Another one of my passions is offering my services as a keynote speaker. I do like engaging with others, as you can probably tell. If any of that is of interest to you, you can contact me directly by the links below or head on over to my website at susiedejong.com.au and I will get straight back to you, I promise. I love what I do and I know what my purpose is, to pay it forward and help others untangle and find their own freedom and joy. So bye for now, and I look forward to seeing you next time.